The sermon title, which was on the PowerPoint, is wrong, but the one in the bulletin is correct. And the sermon title this Sunday, on this, the Sunday of Love, Advent 4 is themed around love, is Love Wins. And it's not chosen just because it shares a title with a rather provocative book by Rob Bell, which I strongly encourage any of you to read if you feel like reading such things. It's more looking at what's going on in this passage of Scripture that we call the Magnificat, that we see, where we see Elizabeth and Mary interacting. The Old Testament had a way of interacting, of God's interacting with his people, with people just like us, that was dramatically different than what we see in the New Testament. And it's not that God never communicated in sort of quiet ways, because of course that's not the case. But God mostly seemed to communicate through big and dramatic things, like a staff turning into a snake, and then eating other staves that had turned into snakes, by plagues, by pillars of fire, by fire coming down from heaven. All of these big things that we don't see as often in the New Testament. Jesus' miracles are, for the most part, personal miracles. They're dealing on a human scale in a way that fire falling from heaven and burning up not just an ox and all that goes with it, but the rocks themselves. And I want to be careful about this. I don't want to infantilize the people of the Old Testament, because that's not fair, nor is it true. But I sometimes wonder if God condescended to work with people where they were to get them from there to here, and at that time interacted with them in the same way. And once again, I'm not speaking down to our forebears. In the same way that when a small child, you know, a toddler, maybe even younger, somehow gets a hold of a knife, we don't have a discussion about this. We don't ask, what was your end goal? What are you trying to accomplish? We take the knife away. And maybe we talk about it afterwards and talk about why you shouldn't, if they're old enough, all that sort of thing. But we tend to act rather than discuss, because that's what needs to be done. And I sometimes wonder if the people that God spoke to in the Old Testament were at a different stage of understanding how to interact with God. And that's not 100% by any means. Many of the prophets interacted with God in ways that are very similar to what we do and use similar language. So it's not that God was only the God of the last part of Job, talking about Leviathans and what do you think you know. But there was more of that then. And it wasn't that God didn't love his people and love the entire creation. And it wasn't that God's people didn't love God back. It was just a different feel to the relationship. And I think that Mary's interaction with God is the introduction of this new stage. Because we don't see God sending an angel to Mary and saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. I don't want any lip out of you. Just have this baby. There's nothing like that. An angel comes and said, this amazing thing is going to happen. You have been chosen to give birth to the Messiah. And Mary says, may it be so. Let this happen. Let this go ahead. We don't know a lot about Mary. If the New Testament was a movie, Mary would be at the beginning and a little bit here and there, and then disappear for most of the movie, because Mary's only really in the Gospels. And so when you saw the credits, Mary would be somewhere way down at the bottom. There'd be no star billing for Mary if this was a movie. So we don't know a lot about her, but we can infer some things, I think. I'm fairly certain that God did not, as it will, pick Mary out of a hat. I think we can infer from God sending Gabriel to explain what was going to happen that Mary was someone who had a relationship with God as it was accomplished then. And I think we see in Mary and her willingness to do this thing that was really challenging. I mean, this would be challenging for someone in their middle age to come up with a way to respond to this. Mary was young, and yes, people matured faster. Mary could have been 14 or 15. We don't know for sure. Whatever age she was young and yet still had already given evidence that she was a good fit for this. That she was the kind of person who would do what needed to be done to bring the Messiah to birth and then to be the critical educator, teacher, trainer of the Messiah for the first many years. We're more likely to share caregiving and all of that between both parents now. But back then, the primary caregiver in every sense of the word for the first many years was the mother. God didn't pick Mary at random. God picked someone who loved God, who understood what this Messiah might mean, at least to the limit that anybody knew back then. And what I think we see in the interaction, in the Magnificat, in all the stories around Mary as she's getting ready to have this baby, as she meets Elizabeth, what I see in there, without having to work too hard to find it, is evidence of a relationship of love between God and Mary. It's not a relationship between the superior, the overlord, and the subject. It's saying, this is a thing that I want you to do. That I want you to do. Not that I require you to do. I don't see, when I read those texts, this overwhelming sense that if Mary doesn't do this, Mary's in trouble. What I see is God saying, this glorious opportunity is here for you to take. If you want to. It would have been difficult, I'm sure, for Mary to say no. But if she would have, she wouldn't have been struck dead. I don't know what would have happened. I'm glad we don't have to find out. Because what we see is we see the beginning of a new way of God relating to God's people. And now relating to God's people always through this lens of a relationship of love. Because in the Old Testament, the relationship was created and maintained through sacrifices and things done. And in the New Testament, we see the relationship created and built by being in relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus never said, "Follow me, I'm going to show you how to make a better sacrifice." Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." That's what he told some of the disciples. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you are heavy, heavily burdened, and you're squashed by your responsibilities, and I will give you rest." Why would Jesus say that? If Jesus didn't love us. And Jesus reaches out to his disciples and the people all around him from this orientation of love that says, "I want to make you better." And not just after you die. Jesus doesn't talk a whole lot about getting you ready for your post-death experience. It's there to be sure. But I think the key verse is found in John, where Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full now." Jesus came that the love that comes within us makes us better people, makes us our best selves, so we can then be our best selves to the people around us. What a glorious thing. And that comes out of love. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we think of love because that's what drew us to God. That's what enables us to respond to God. God reached out to us first. And God didn't reach out to us to say, "Hey, if you listen to me, after you die, things will be good." God reaches out to us and says, "If you're in a relationship with me through Jesus, If you let the Holy Spirit change who you are from the inside, that you might become your best self, better than you are in a way that you like, right now. Because God loves us now, not just later. God loves us at this moment, at this time, in this rather distressing and unpleasant year of pandemic. And all the choices we've had to make and how tired we've been and all the things we might wish we'd have done differently. God's been with us in all of them because God loves us. The Holy Spirit is with us because the Holy Spirit loves us and loves to be with us. Not just now and then, but always. Because that's how it works. Because when we look at the arc of the universe, it bends toward justice, to be sure. But it's justice tempered by love. By a God who identifies as a God who is love. Not just a loving God, but who is love. We don't know everything about, we don't know everything about a lot of things. We don't know everything about how God interacts with us through all of eternity. But we do know that a God who loves us enough to share Jesus with us is going to win in the end, and win because of love.